I'm amazed how easily and how boldly Jesus tells us in the gospel today what to do with our money and with our finances. He doesn't even bat an eye. He says, that part of your life is also underneath my dominion, my lordship, for those of you who choose to follow me. I remember when the Lord was drawing me back to the faith so many years ago, I expected that Jesus would have something to say about how I should pray. I expected he would teach me how to pray. But going into the scriptures, into the gospel, you know, for the first time as my conversion was unfolding, I was a bit shocked and probably a little fearful over the other areas that maybe I just hadn't even paid attention to before, where the Lord just doesn't have any qualms or issues at all saying, all of those other parts of your life that maybe you thought had nothing to do with your relationship with me, I actually have something to say about that. So that's in the realm of money and finances, the realm of relationships and sex, even down to food and drink, how we eat and drink, even our clothing. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Jesus has something to say about every single one of those areas of our life. And that was a little scary for me in coming back to the faith, but it shouldn't be, because the reason that he can declare lordship over all of those things just so easily and so confidently is because of this. The life that we live every single day, in even the small things of life, you and I are making choices and decisions that ultimately can help us to love God and neighbor or not. And all of those moments that we make, even a small choice to love God and neighbor, we're putting into practice what we prayed in the opening prayer today at the start of Mass. We said, Father, you've built everything on the great commandment to love you and to love our neighbor. So, Lord, help us to live out that precept and so make our way to eternal life. So this is the truth, that our life is filled with all of these different moments that become opportunities for us to love God and neighbor or not. Wealth, we'll get to that one in terms of the gospel today, but food and drink, like today on Sunday, if you gather with family and friends for a great Sunday meal together, food and drink can become a really beautiful opportunity for you to grow in love with your family and to grow in love of God. So food and drink can move in that direction. But fast forward to Wednesday night of this week, and imagine that you've had like three really hard days at work or three really rough days with your family, and at that point, by Wednesday night, whatever your particular trigger is to kick in that addictive cycle, which we all, in our own way, have operating in our life to some extent, stress, loneliness, anger, boredom, whatever it might be, imagine Wednesday night, you disconnect from the rest of the people in your family, in your life, and you just flee and escape into food and drink late on Wednesday night, just to get out of whatever your body says, I just can't deal with this, I need an escape. In that case, food and drink is not an opportunity for you to love God and neighbor. It becomes just the feeding of that destructive kind of addictive cycle where for a time you get out of that stress by food or drink, but it's all still there, and it's not an opportunity to love God and neighbor. So Jesus knows this about us, and it's true over all these different realms of our life. Same with, obviously, relationships. I can enter into a relationship with someone where I'm just choosing to use them as an object for myself and what I want. And obviously, if I choose to do that, I'm choosing not to love God and to love that person, my neighbor. But if I have a relationship where I'm really genuinely loving them in a sacrificial way, the way that Scripture teaches us, it can become an opportunity to do what I was made to do. So that's the background for what we have going on in the gospel today. And it's really beautiful and it's amazing that the whole of our life is opened up and is able to be charged morally in a way where that all I do can end up becoming an opportunity to love God and neighbor. We're the only creature that was made that way. Your pets at home, the way that they eat their food, that there's nothing morally good or bad about it. It's just what a dog or a cat does. But the way God made us, it's absolutely amazing. So with that background in the gospel today, Jesus teaches us through this parable. He's telling us, I want you to use your finances, your wealth, your resources. I want you to use that in a way that allows you to love me, your God, and to love your neighbor. So in the parable that Jesus tells, there's a steward who's been entrusted with his master's goods. He's losing his job, but in order that he has something to fall back on, before it's all done, before the job comes to an end, he calls in his master's debtors. And we know the way that it worked back in the ancient world. The steward would add on, like a tax collector did, he would add on to what the person owed his master, keep the extra as profit for himself. But what he does in this situation is he calls in his master's debtors, he cuts out what he would have made off of it, and in doing that, he's saying, like, look, I'm being good to you. When I don't have this job, you'll be good to me. And so Jesus in the parable says, look at what he's doing. He's using his stewardship in order to make sure that he's got something to fall back on in this life. And then Jesus says, you do that with an eternal perspective. Do it thinking about eternity. That is, let your finances, your resources, and your money be an opportunity to love God and to love your neighbor, and so take a step closer to and deeper into the kingdom of God that you were made for. It's a really simple message. There's nothing really complex about it. What does this look like in daily life? Well, let me give you two kind of bigger, maybe like beautiful extreme examples just to make the point. Remember Oscar Schindler, Schindler's List? Remember his story. World War II breaks out, the Nazis occupy Poland. He comes in from Hungary as a war profiteer. He has relationships with the Nazis, sets up a factory, and his whole thing is, I'm gonna make so much money off of this, and when the war's done, I cut out and I keep my money. Only he saw with his own eyes the atrocities of the Nazis, and his heart was moved. And you remember the story that he ended up using all of his fortune, all of his business's money, all his own money, to save as many lives of the Jews as he could. It's a beautiful example. It is unique, but it gets to the heart of what the gospel's about. Use what you've been entrusted with, not to serve your own end here and now, but to do something greater and bigger beyond you. Now, that's just an example from the world. Let me give you an example from our Catholic life. One of our great saints, very local, St. Catherine Drexel. She died just in 1955. She was canonized just in the year 2000. She grew up in Philadelphia. She was born into a very elite socialite family. Her father was a very, very wealthy banker and did very well for himself. She grew up in a family of faith, and so she saw her parents care for the needy. When her dad died, she and maybe one or two of her siblings inherited everything, as her mom had already died. And her share of the inheritance was, in 1890, $7 million. In 2022 dollars, that's about $225 million. So here's what happened. when her dad had still been alive, they had made a trip over to Europe, and that included a pilgrimage into Italy, to the Vatican. They had an audience with Pope Leo XIII. And Catherine Drexel already had a heart for Native Americans, African Americans here in the U.S. that were overlooked and not cared for. And so she said to Pope Leo, "You need to send missionaries to America that these people can be taken care of." And he said to her, "Why don't you be the missionary?" And that stirred something up in her heart, and she ended up founding a religious community of sisters, and she took all of her inheritance, and over the whole rest of her life, she lived into her 90s, it was a long and rich life, she spent all that she had, all that $225 million in now dollars, to found schools, missions, even Xavier University down in New Orleans. She founded that as the first university specifically for African Americans, that they would have an opportunity to receive a good education. So that's a beautiful example of what this gospel is getting at. Here's the awesome thing, though. We live this out not just if we are at that level of a Catherine Drexel or that dramatically like an Oscar Schindler. We live it out no matter where we are financially. The Lord says to us, and he says to me, applying this to your life is not a matter of doing it once you have a certain amount of wealth. Like, I pray through this gospel today. I receive a fixed small salary from you, from the parish, just for, you know, various things in my own life that are not covered. Like, we're in the new rectory now. I'm grateful for that. But I have to buy gas and a car and things like that. But, you know, I don't get a commission. It's a fixed income. But the Lord says to me, "Eric, how are you going to take what I've entrusted to you financially and let it be an opportunity for you to love me, your God, and to love your neighbor?" So I have to apply this to my own life. And so the main thing that I want to just communicate and hopefully just put out to your hearts is this. Begin to ask the Lord, what does this gospel mean for you in your life in light of the fact that he has made you a steward in your own particularly unique way? And this is not the kind of thing that has like maybe an easy just 1 week application. It's a bigger question. Lord, given all that you've entrusted to me, knowing that this life, that the stewardship I've been given in this life will come to an end, how am I going to prepare for my eternity by using the financial resources you've given me to become an opportunity to love you, my God, and my neighbor? It's a big question. But listen, don't be afraid to ask that question. We've got to put that before the Lord. Every one of you, I'm sure, has already begun some level of retirement planning, right? We hear it so much, you're doing it. And the Lord says, do it in light of your eternal retirement in heaven. And the beautiful thing is that nothing's off limits in our life. Everything becomes an opportunity to love God and neighbor. Relationships, food and drink, all of the daily things, including our wealth and our finances. Don't be afraid to put that question before the Lord, knowing, Lord, you've made me a steward. It all really ultimately comes from you. How can I best use what you've given to become an opportunity for me to love you and to love my neighbor?